Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live at 4. I'm Missy, joined by Bob and Mike. We are coming to you from Stage AE with beautiful Heinz Field looking behind us. It feels good to be on the fresh air, guys, but not as warm as it was last week.
Well, yeah, it's closer to football weather, Missy. Look at it that way. Yeah.
We are not just at Stage AE. We're on Stage AE. We're on the outdoor stage. We're just in front of the indoor stage. That being the case, I got to get this out of my system. Hello, Cleveland! Are you ready to rock?
All right, we good?
Always wanted to do that.
Well, you just took your rock star ego, and here we go. All right, well, speaking of football weather, we did find out the Steelers' 2014 schedule last night, so let's take a look at it, guys. 5 primetime games, that's the most that you can have. 2 of those, of course, against the Ravens, and a late bye week this year. This is during week 12.
Interesting to me is the way it starts. I know the bye week's down the road, but a home opener against the Browns and then a stretch of 4 games out of 5 on the road at Baltimore, at Carolina, home against Tampa, at Jacksonville, at Cleveland. Maybe not the most agonizing of venues to visit, but 4 road games out of 5, Lab. Tough to get off to that good start that every team covets when you're playing almost exclusively away from home.
Yeah, and a couple of those road games prime time Thursday night in Baltimore, the second straight season the Steelers get sent to Baltimore on a short week, at Carolina as well. You know, Mike, the other thing that is a little bit different to me about this schedule, in the past several seasons, we've seen the NFL bunch a lot of division games at the end of the schedule, trying to keep things relevant in terms of teams' interest in playing those games to win. This year for the Steelers, final 8 weeks of their schedule, the only 2 division games are the home and home against the Cincinnati Bengals. So the Steelers are going to have a lot of division games among the early part of their schedule. So that's going to even increase the importance of them getting off to a decent start.
Although that said, that's pretty interesting that it would be Cincinnati,
right,
the team that you play twice in the last month. Based on where we ended, that would give you the chance to stay
up
in it.
Yeah.
You have that make up 2 games factor.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
If you get off to a bad start by, say, playing all your games on the road in September and October.
Well, and if you win all of those games, I mean, maybe you take the first one at Cincinnati on December 7th, and then you're one of those teams figuring out, well, but maybe we don't have to play these last games that hard.
But if they do mean something, there is a chance that they could get flexed into a better time slot.
Yeah, you mentioned, Missy, 5 primetime games already. That's the most you can have when the schedule initially comes out. A team can be flexed into primetime one other time. But when you look at the Steelers' schedule, you know, there's already 5 night games there. I don't know that the league would really want to give you a 6th. I think that what would be much more likely would be some of these 1 p.m. kickoffs being made to 4:25. The Steelers only have 1 4:25 game on the schedule so far. Networks really like that second slot on Sunday, both CBS and Fox, because it takes you into your primetime lineup, which for CBS is 60 Minutes and Amazing Race and that stuff. And the networks love a good game at 4:25 if they can get it leading into that.
You know, just a personal note on the schedule. I know the Steelers.
Please tell us.
Well, the Steelers are a team. A lot of people go to the road games, and it's not just people that have left Pittsburgh. It's a lot of people from Pittsburgh that want to go see the team on the road. If this is something you have always wanted to do, if you've always wondered what's it like to go see the team on the road, I'm here to tell you, Monday, November 17th at Tennessee, you've got a great town to visit. You've got weather that's going to be favorable. You've got a place where you can go and wear a Steeler jersey and feel okay that you're maybe not going to get in a fight at some point that night. And you've got proximity to where you want to go downtown, to the stadium, the hotels. It's pretty much
win-win-win,
right?
If a Steeler fan would want to go to that game and maybe run into you sometime on Sunday night, on November the 16th, where would you say that he might choose to go?
I would say it'd be pretty high odds I'll be at a place called Tootsie's.
So pretty high odds.
By all means, stop over and say hello. But if they're playing some of that music I like, wait till the band stops.
I think we should actually hold a contest where someone gets to go and hang out with you that night.
Well, is that the winner or the loser?
That's a good point.
The winner has to go on 2 trips, or the loser has to go on 2 trips.
Very good point. Now, an interesting, some fun facts about the schedule. Peter King of Sports Illustrated had an interesting article, went behind the scenes with the four guys, and there are only four, who are basically locked into a room for about 70 days together, coming up with a schedule. Guys, 256-game masterpiece you have to schedule in. Baseball teams with the Bears. I think there's a rugby team that uses their field.
One
so many different things.
Concerts. There were six
NFL stadiums.
NFL stadiums that they had to consider, the one dimension.
The things that they have to consider is just absolutely insane. They use 40 computers. They come up with 500,000 possibilities. And they did admit that on April 16th at 4:20, they came up with the schedule that was released last night. But then they had about 175 other schedules that for the past 6 days they have tried to see, is this one a little bit better or is it not?
Yeah, and the other thing that kind of happens, I don't know if it's certainly not on purpose, but you know, sometimes ownership from different teams gets a little look or a hint about a part of their schedule, and you know, they get on the phone and say, you know, why are we always on the road on Monday nights instead of at home, or you know, those kind of things. So there's some of that. They don't always respond to those kinds of complaints, but I think they've investigated a little bit, and if there's an accommodation that can be made that doesn't honk off the networks or conflict with a one-dimension concert or anything like that, maybe they make some minor moves. But as you said, this one they had done, you know, 7-8 days before they released it.
Just right. From a league standpoint, I'm happy to see that Seattle gets to play a home game to start the year. Apparently no issues between the Mariners and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
We got that worked out out there.
Well, maybe the Seahawks just decided to stand up for what is right and true, where the Baltimore Ravens did not. That's just my opinion.
All right, let's move on from the schedule, shall we? Let's talk about phase one of the Steelers' offseason program that kicked off on Tuesday. A lot of the guys back in the building, and this is the indoor practice facility in the weight room outside. Pretty much at this point, guys, they're not doing anything overly exciting. It's stretching, strength training, sprints, and all that jazz. And we had a chance to catch up with Antonio Brown.
When I look around in the room, you know, it's a lot of older guys, but I'm the oldest guy who's been here the most. So I got to will the team to win, and I will my group, and the way I come to work and the way I handle myself and preparing, you know, that's going to be key.
Chance to talk to some of the new guys there. You see LeGarrette Blount with Le'Veon Bell. Lance Moore is in town. So kind of getting some feelers out on those guys.
Yeah, and they're kind of getting some feelers out on each other. You know, there's going to be a lot of changeover. There always is. And particularly at this time of year, it's a chance for these guys to get to know each other a little bit under a less pressurized situation than training camp presents. The OTAs will be another step in that process. And, you know, there'll be coaches watching that, and you'll actually be playing some football. So a little bit more of a concern about how you're handling your business. But for now, just, work on shaking off the rust, begin getting yourself in football shape, and begin finding out who are these guys that I'm doing all this with.
Yeah, because this is phase one of the off-season program, and I'm here to tell you, with phase one, footballs are not allowed onto the field. No playing with the balls first. You have to play with the other toys, you know, the things that they're running through, those little circles there. And the
you do that
pass.
Every morning, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In order to wake up to come in to do this show. but this is really, really preliminary kind of stuff. It's nice that most of the guys are here. I think way too much is put on that kind of thing. I'm much more interested, for example, in Troy Polamalu getting his body ready for this upcoming NFL season than I am interested in seeing him at the Southside, doing whatever they're doing in the indoor facility. There are certain people who are professionals who know what they need to do to get themselves ready. Do that. If you want to come to the facility, that's great. The doors are open. Welcome, all that other stuff. But, it's April 23rd, 24th, whatever today is. I'm not that excited about it.
Well, it's not anything to get excited about. But when you have, say, running back Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount were playing shuffleboard the other day in the locker room. Just a little bit of a get to know you get to know me. And these are guys that are going to presumably have to work together all season long. Why not start that familiarization process as early as possible?
And that's exactly, we also caught up with Mike Mitchell, and that's what he had to say as well.
Just very excited to meet the guys and get to work. You know, I'm a football player. The press conference and everything was nice, but, you know, I'm here to play football, and that's what I'm here to do, and that's what I'm excited about doing. You know, the guys are in here. Everyone's working very hard. Can't wait for the season. It just goes to show how committed this team is to winning. Everyone really wants to get that sixth championship. Everyone wants to, do what we can to win it, and you see that from the commitment, the guys coming in early and reporting back early, and this is, you know, this isn't mandatory, so it's good to see that.
Mike Mitchell not happy about the weather. He also told us that, but he is glad to be here, and like you guys have already said, and he just said, getting a chance to meet the guys, find the ropes. Mike Mitchell didn't know where the indoor practice facility was the other day, so, you know, you're getting a grasp of your bearings.
Yeah, right, and, you know, Mike Mitchell, of all of these guys, the new people, I would put the finger on him as the most important of these off-season signings on the player's end. The most important off-season signing could be end up being Mike Munchak, but we'll see how that goes. But on the player side, Mike Mitchell, this guy is brought in here to start at free safety. He's being brought in here to start at free safety for a team that is in desperate need of more takeaways from its unit. Granted, takeaways are a result of pressure and good coverage, but Mike Mitchell needs to be able to contribute some things to raising that number right away, because as Mike said, you know, four of those first five games were on the road, and as we both kind of talked about, a lot of division games early.
And Mike Mitchell's the guy that falls into the category of a veteran player in the league who's now with a new team, and it's not just getting to know your new teammates, it's getting to feel like a complete, full-fledged, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers player now. Mike Mitchell's a guy in that category. Lance Moore's a guy in that category. Cam Thomas is a guy in that category. LeGarrette Blount, Adam Podolish. There are several people who have been experienced NFL players that are transitioning to the Steelers. I think this helps them feel like Steelers a little bit more.
Absolutely. And all of the rookies from last year's draft class have been in the building at some point this week working out. Guys, we had a chance to catch up with Vince Williams and Jarvis Jones about Coach Peasy.
Amazing, man. One of the best players to play this game. And with the demeanor that he had to play this game is unbelievable. So I'm glad to have Joey here. I know he's glad to be back with us. So we're going to take full advantage of him and learn everything we can from him.
You guys trying to pick his brain, do everything that you can?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm thinking about, you know, renting out one of the rooms in his house and just kind of living in there. It's like I want to be baby Joey Porter. And in a sense, not so much as how he play outside, obviously, but, you know, just try to pick up demeanor. He's a great player. So you just want to learn as much as I can.
They were kind of chuckling at that, but I'm pretty sure they're probably serious in a sense.
Well, and one of the things I think that Joey Porter serious, and I'm serious about this, can teach a lot of these new Steelers is to hate the Ravens. And as I said, I'm serious about that. I think some of the edge in the rivalry from the Steelers' side of it has gone away a little bit. And I think the Ravens are, not that they're winning all of the games, but, you know, they're doing some things, especially at this building behind us here, Heinz Field, a little bit more often than they used to. And Joey Porter was a Steelers player at a time when I don't know if there was ever any hate more bubbling over the top consistently than there was Steelers-Ravens at that time.
No, I don't believe there was, and I don't believe the Ravens are the only team that Joey Porter can teach these guys how to hate, and I don't believe that it's all going to be here's how you rush the passer, here are techniques, here are preparation protocols out of Joey Porter. He is going to be a little bit of an attitude coach. We've already had this discussion, and he intends to impart upon these guys some of the things that he thought made him a really good player. And Lab, that H word that you mentioned was part of it from Joey's estimation. You got to compete at this level.
Yeah, you have to have the proper demeanor,
yes,
as the coaching staff will say. And absolutely.
That's a pretty good guy to learn from along those lines.
Yeah, because he brought it all the time, 100%, 100 miles an hour, often to the detriment of himself and the team, i.e. getting in a fight with a backup fullback pregame in Cleveland and getting thrown out.
Well, you know, you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs now and then. Sometimes they spill onto the stove and you have to wipe them up. But usually the omelet's pretty good.
You're hoping not to go that far. I don't like shells in my omelet either. He has a lot that I think that he can teach because you don't have as you don't finish with as many sacks as Joey Porter finished with, just being an emotional guy and athletic and those kind of things. I mean, Joey Porter knew how to get in opponents' heads. He knew how to study them. He knew how to find things and then trash talk them about it. I mean, this is work, people. I'm here to tell you, you just don't walk out onto the field and have that kind of mojo going. Sorry, Wolf, stole your word. But, yeah, Joey Porter, there's a lot he can teach these young guys, and I think they're really willing to and excited to learn.
And I am making it my mission and my goal, whether it happens in training camp or sometime this offseason, of having him on the show with us, because our Coach Peasy show is pretty good the last time.
And I'm here to tell you, Steelers fans, if you're thinking about going to training camp this year, you want to be there for the first backs on backers, and you want to be close to where you can hear the banter.
You mean up on the hill? You can probably hear it up there if he's there.
Let's go right, because Joey
probably
Porter,
hear it at the Arnold Palmer Airport once Joey Porter gets cracked.
But yeah, he will be in fine form for that drill, I guarantee you.
All right, we do have a list of the recent draftees that have been at the Steelers practice facility. Before we talk about them, guys, just to note, Sunday is the last day the teams are allowed to have their allotment of 30 guys come in. So, of course, this list kind of slim, but we're almost at that 30-plus list. So maybe a few more guys we can mention next week, but let's talk about the four on the screen right now.
Now, Anthony Barr is the headliner, the outside linebacker out of UCLA. The rest of these guys, I would perceive them to be not first rounders, not second rounders, maybe not even third rounders. Of course, you find players in all rounds if you're doing it right, but Anthony Barr, a guy that I think a lot of people labs have high up on the list.
And he's an interesting guy. I mean, he was recruited by Notre Dame to be a wide receiver, didn't want to play receiver. He went to UCLA, played running back his freshman year under Rick Neuheisel, and then his second year he grew a little bit more. You know, he's now 6'5", 255. He grew a little bit more, and then they turned him into like a hybrid fullback, H-back thing. Then Neuheisel got fired, and Jim Mora Jr. was hired. He looked at this big athletic guy, you know, Jim Mora Jr. defense is his thing, and he thought 3-4 outside linebacker, switched him there. I mean, the guy had 13.5 sacks in his first season at the position. He finished second in the country that year behind Jarvis Jones. Anthony Barr is he's not a polished defensive player. He doesn't even have real good defensive player instincts yet, but wow, what an athlete. And you know, he would be a guy that if the Steelers want to add him to their roster, they're going to need to pick him 15th.
Yeah, if you perceive him as a pass rusher, and why wouldn't you? The trend now is you find pass rushers when you can get them, and you worry about how polished they are down the road. I agree with you. The talent and the physicality and the frame and the potential command attention.
Yeah, Ross Cockrell, just another guy. You know, he's a little bit like Deshae Townsend in this respect. He's going to be limited physically by his measurables. You know, with Cockrell, he's only like a 4.56 kind of guy, so he doesn't have the speed that you need to line up as a starting corner in this league. But he's a smart guy. You know, he had 41 passes defensed and 12 interceptions in four seasons. He has good awareness. He can get to the ball, make the catch. You know, he could be a Deshae Townsend guy, a guy who finished his Steelers career here with like 15.5 sacks and 21 interceptions. You know, if you get a guy like that in the middle rounds early on Saturday, that's how you build a solid roster.
All right. Well, we are going to play high, medium, and low once again. Last week it was offense. This week it's defense. We are going to start with defensive end. So let's take a look. Mike, who did you pick?
I picked high for defensive end.
Bob?
Oh, yes. You know, I hate to agree.
Am I asking this question?
I hate to agree with Pursuit, but, you know, it is. Yeah, it's pretty obvious that it is a high area of need. And again, as we talked about some with the offense, it's a high area of need both in terms of numbers and you need dynamic players. So, yes, as they used to say about voting in Chicago, vote early and vote often, the Steelers could kind of take that and twist it a little bit about drafting defensive ends, draft them early and draft them often.
All right, let's move on. Nose tackle. Bob, we'll let you go first this time.
To me, it's a medium need. I think that as we sit here today, I don't even know that the Steelers have a real good idea of is Steve McClendon an end or a nose tackle, is Cam Thomas an end or a nose tackle. You don't have enough numbers there right now, and you don't really know to me where those numbers line up. So you can't just say they need ends, not nose tackles, or they need nose tackles, not ends. I think that defensive line is an area that the Steelers need to address in this draft and then maybe through the rest of the offseason.
I'll agree with the latter part of your statement, but I don't think they have to over-address it. I'm going to give nose tackle
That's
low.
What medium means.
Yeah,
not
well.
Over-address.
He's going lower.
The way offenses are trending now, I don't know how much the nose tackle is going to play. And yeah, you got
to have one.
You got to have one. I think they got some people on the roster already. Either McClendon or Cam Thomas ought to be able to handle it. And you find a backup where you can find one. You don't necessarily have to find that in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round. Yeah, you got to stop the run. And once you convince them to do that, you better be able to rush the passer.
All right, inside linebacker. Mike, you can go first.
I'm going to go medium as well. Now, I'm not privy to the medical information on Sean Spence that the team is, but I've heard some interesting things from some people who claim to have an idea about Sean Spence, and I think there are enough other candidates. The way last season ended, Vince Williams got a lot of experience at the position. You can find one or two guys to supplement that, but I don't think it's a position anymore, Bob. With all due respect to James Ferrer, I don't think you go out in first round an inside linebacker.
No, I don't either. I see it as a medium need, only because you know, you don't know about a lot of the names that you just threw out there. You really don't know a lot about what they are going to be and what they're going to contribute in 2014. So, again, I'm of the opinion that you could add, if you could pick an inside linebacker who becomes an all-pro, you make the Steelers better. So, or a pro bowler. Let's not get crazy, all-pro. A pro bowler, you make this defense considerably better, and you know, maybe that helps some of your other deficiencies along the defensive line. So I'm going to call it a medium need. I'm interested. I'm not necessarily buying, though.
Okay, outside linebacker is next, Mike.
I'm going to go medium there as well. I really like what they have as the potential starters, Jarvis Jones and Jason Worlds. You got to have some depth. You got to have more than one, certainly. But I think you have the guys that you're going to move forward with and the guys who are going to be your future. They just need a little in reserve at that position.
Well, I'm going to say hi because I believe that it is a very, very critical position. In the way that Dick LeBeau wants to play defense, pressure on the passer is very, very important. You know, again, I'm going to say that, you know, if Anthony Barr is there 15th, I'm really thinking about him in that spot. So if you're willing to commit the 15th pick in the draft to a position, I think you would characterize your interest in it as high. That's what I'm doing. And I, you know, you said you got to have depth. There's no problem with having, you know, three really good ones. And then you can kind of sort it out later. At one point, the Steelers had Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd, and then they drafted Chad Brown.
But do they not often also draft these guys as project players, and you get them in the third or fourth round and convert them? So is that high or medium? Are we picking nits here? Or?
No, I'm saying if the Steelers have identified one of these guys as a superior talent, and you can pick him 15th, I'm doing it.
Okay, there we differ.
Yes.
Okay, well, you guys are going to agree on the next one. It's cornerback, and I'm picking high for both of you. Mike, we'll let you start.
Is there one higher than high?
No, we're at just high, medium, or low. You just have to pick high.
I'll be very succinct. You need players. You need bodies.
Yes, and again, yes, to me that's the way it is at defensive end as well. You need players, and you need bodies.
What was the one year they rebuilt the secondary? Was it 87 when they took Woodson, Delton Hall, and Thomas Everett in the first four rounds?
Yeah, 1, 2, and 4. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to something along those lines.
Me either, as long as whoever you get 15th turns out to be a Pro Bowl guy. That's the 15th pick, whatever position it is, has to be a Pro Bowl guy. If that's cornerback, I'm in.
Okay, next is safety. We already talked about Mike Mitchell, that addition. So what do you have on this one?
I'm going low on that. I think that, you know, you have five guys right now. You have Troy, you have Mike Mitchell, you have Shamarco Thomas, and you have Will Allen that you re-signed, and then you have Robert Golden kind of as a special teams ace. I don't know that you keep more than five safeties, and if those five guys remain healthy through the preseason and training camp period, You know, I don't know that guys can come in and take their job. Plus, I don't think there's a real good pool of safety talent. I'm saying low.
Yeah, I'm going to say low also. I'll give that an asterisk and say if you see the next Troy Polamalu at 15, maybe you take him instead of the next Joey Porter or Ron Woodson.
I don't think there is one, though.
Yeah, probably not. And I really I'm intrigued by Shamarco Thomas. I know it was kind of an uneven rookie year for him. He was starting to establish himself, and then he was injured, and then he sort of went to the back of the line when Will Allen stabilized things. But even if Shamarco does not make a dramatic impact this year, no problem with another year of quote-unquote apprenticeship. I think this kid may play a lot of significant football for the Steelers someday soon. Maybe not tomorrow, but soon.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us on today's Steelers.com Live at 4
show.
We'll
be back next year.
I was just going to say, is there anything else you want to do before we get kicked off stage?
Drive home safely. Thanks for coming to the show.
That is Mike, a.k.a. Bruce. He's Bob. I'm Missy. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week at 4.